To kick off season two of Tech Talk with Black Knight on KCLR Drive, I'm joined by Alan O'Reilly to talk all things privacy around Facebook. We're taking a quick look at GDPR. We've got smartphones that can see in the dark, and with the rules relaxed around registrations for .ie domain names, we see what that means for Black Knight and Ireland in general. This is Tech Talk on KCLR Drive.
Tech Talk on KCLR with Black Knight for domain names, web hosting, email, and all things cloud.
Just make sure I have all my buttons lined up. Usually we'd be doing this and we'd have Alan in studio. He's in his own kind of fancy studio. Alan O'Reilly, Black Knight Solutions. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks, Ken.
Excellent. Good. We're back to kick off our, we'll call it season two of Tech Talk on Drive. Facebook, GDPR, .ie register, because I went .ie shopping. I'm a devil for domain shopping. I went .ie shopping last night as well. And phones that can see in the dark are up for discussion. But we're starting with Facebook, because there's been loads of stuff in the papers. I see even in entertainment today, Will Ferrell has come out to say, I'm deleting my Facebook account in the next 72 hours because I can't abide, I might be like completely paraphrasing here, but he can't abide by how the Cambridge Analytica scandal has exploded in media, and people are all of a sudden very concerned, or at least more concerned than they were, about the level of and the amount of data that Facebook are storing on them. You know, we post pictures, we post stories, we post videos. Some people sync phones and emails. But what's happening? What's the blowout of this? And how can people, I suppose, take action or take more control?
Yeah, so I suppose the big story is the Cambridge Analytica part, which really came from an app that was developed in 2014, which was This Is Your Digital Life, which people basically signed up to that app, but signed in via their Facebook account, which gave Facebook, obviously, gave them access to their data, but also their friends' profiles. So that data ended up being shared in a way that it was never intended. And a lot of people now are feeling that Facebook have shared their data in a way that they didn't know or didn't want. So I suppose there's a lot of coverage about that. Maybe what we should look at is just in terms of if people want to understand how can they protect themselves.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook actually only last night announced that they're updating their mobile app, and they're making their privacy tools much easier to find. Because if you've ever gone into Facebook and you've tried to figure out, how do I check who can see my post, who can see this, that, and the other? It's not been very easy. So in fairness, they're making it a little bit easier now. So if you go into the account settings, there's actually a privacy tutorial that once you go into the privacy settings, it kind of says, do you want to go through your tutorial? And what it does is it brings you through some of the basic things, who can see your posts, and then it goes and shows you your current information, like your date of birth, like your marital status, etc. And it also has a little option beside it that says, only me, friends, or everyone. So you can easily adjust who can see what. And when you go through next, it also brings you then to one that's a little bit important, is the apps. So these are all the apps that you may well have signed up to in the past that have asked you to either basically use an email address or use your Facebook account. And let's face it, we've all clicked on Facebook because it's easy. Because you're already signed into Facebook, so you click on Facebook and that basically signs you up to this third-party app. The problem is, what some people don't realize, is that when you do that, it does vary from app to app what information you pass to them from your Facebook account.
Okay.
So sometimes it can just be your email address, sometimes it can be your profile, and sometimes it can be your friends list, and some of them it'll actually say that they're allowed post on your timeline. So it's worth reviewing the apps, first of all, to see if there are apps in there that maybe you don't have an interest in anymore, that are old apps that you just don't want to use anymore, and you can simply delete them. Or you can go in and change the privacy options that you've given those apps. So that's one thing you can easily do.
Because this is the thing. I mean, I downloaded my... I followed the instructions on Facebook. And in fairness, going through the settings, they don't exactly make it blatantly clear as to how you can download your information. But there is a tiny little link there somewhere. But I've been using Facebook, it tells me, since sometime in 2007. So if you imagine, for somebody who's in my position, who's been using it for 10 years, you've changed phones a couple of times, you've had a bajillion different apps on phones, phones and you've signed in and you've signed out and you've done this thing and you've done that thing and you've taken this quiz and you've taken that poll and you've shared something, and you know, there's an awful lot of things that you've put out there and an awful lot of things that you've given access to that you may have completely and utterly forgotten about, but this stuff still sits out in the ether.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right, it's actually very difficult to find to download my data on the mobile, but on the desktop version, which fewer and fewer people are using, it is a little bit easier. But it is quite kind of, it's a little bit scary looking at everything you've shared on Facebook, because I did the same, downloading the data. And to be honest with you, it can bring up some emotions as well, because it can bring back old photos and videos maybe of family members who are no longer around and things like that. So it can be a little bit tricky to kind of go and do it. But what has been interesting is some people have found, I've seen some people on Twitter sharing that they use, mainly on the Android app it seems to be, but at some stage it actually collected all of the metadata for all of their phone calls and all of their text messages. Now, not the content of the text message, but it says that on this date, on this time, you sent a text message to Ken, or you called Ken, or you called your mother, or whoever. So a lot of people have been very freaked out with the fact that Facebook was storing this information, because why does Facebook need that information? Which is obviously very weird.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to work into. But for people that are concerned, you're saying go in, check the privacy settings, you can follow that tutorial and maybe just kind of make yourself more aware of what's going on.
Exactly, yeah. Just go through the privacy settings, have a look at it. And there is also a handy thing where you can limit posts. So if you have in the past kind of maybe not limited who can see your posts, but one click of the button, you can limit all of your posts so that only friends or people tagged in them can see them. So that's a quick, easy kind of cleanup to do on your profile as well.
Sounds not so bad for, because I've heard horror stories, all right, of people that are going job hunting and then somebody looks for them on Facebook and then somebody says, oh, you made all of that stuff when you were out doing all your gallivanting years ago and drinking and clubbing and partying and everything. And there's, you know, stuff that you probably don't want people to see, or you might not know who's going to be seeing it. Okay, that's on the Facebook side of things. One topic we touched on in season one of the Tech Talk side of things is GDPR. It's four letters that people in business in particular, in Carlo and Kilkenny, are probably getting hammered with. Some people will know what it is and some people have taken action. Other people are going, is there a scary man that's going to come knocking on my door if I don't follow these instructions? It happens in May. What is it and why do people need to be aware of it?
So GDPR, first of all, stands for the General Data Protection Regulation. So this is basically new privacy policy, so new data protection and privacy. And the idea here is that you're going to have one central EU basically regulation that's going to govern how people's personal data is stored and accessed, and it's going to basically have a lot more in terms of fines and companies being made responsible for maybe data breaches or for lapses of data protection. So it can get very, very heavy and it gets very scary. I've gone to loads of presentations, loads of talks. Really and simply, what people need to start thinking about is, what do they store, why do they store it, and are they storing it for the purposes that they're meant to store it for? And to be honest with you, Ken, some of the things that, you know, businesses will probably be aware of this to some degree by now, or at least they should be. But some things that maybe not be aware of it is like voluntary organizations. It's not just businesses that need to think about GDPR. It's also anybody that stores personal identifiable information really need to think about how they're storing it. And if you're keeping copies of birth certs and these kind of things, are you keeping them for any longer than you need to keep them? How are you storing them and all that kind of thing, really? So it's just anybody that's handling personal identifiable information needs to think about why they're doing it, how they're doing it, and where they're doing it, really.
Sound. Okay. From data protection, we'll jump to gadgets, because Huawei, I'm hoping it's Huawei.
Yes.
It is brilliant. It's the one that everybody keeps calling. Have you got one of those Hawaii phones, or the Huya phones, or the Huawei phones? But their new P20, for people that are into mobile phones and gadgets, this thing can see in the dark.
Yeah, so Huawei have bought out the new P20, as you say, which is really impressive, and it's going after the camera as its unique selling point, really.
Yeah.
So it's actually got a number of lenses. It's rather than, like, I know some of the iPhones have two lenses, this one actually has four.
Tidy.
But what it's claiming to do is that it can take long exposure shots in almost near darkness or very low light.
Yeah.
And you don't need a tripod. So you don't need to be dead still.
Oh, really?
It's using some smart technology that's basically matching up the pixels, even if you move ever so slightly, to give you a long exposure image. And some of the tests that they've shown at the launch are really impressive, like really impressive.
Nice. I can see the billboards they have on BBC of their The Incredible Night. Because, like, typically, if somebody's going for a long exposure, the detail is in the name. It's you're taking the picture, but you have to hold it for quite a while. And traditionally, it's like, don't move. You will ruin your picture if you move.
Yes.
So they're just avoiding all of this, using the smart technology and kind of nailing it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, as I know, like, if you use a drone for long exposure, if it's windy, forget about it, you know. And these are saying up to 6 seconds. They can manage up to 6 seconds exposure, and you don't need to have a tripod. So that's very impressive. It's running Android's 8.1 operating system. So it's something that if people are into photography, are thinking about getting a new phone, then it may well be something to look at. They are trying to push a kind of Samsung and Apple, but because they're a Chinese company, all of the US telecoms companies won't sell their devices, which is kind of hindering them a small bit.
Yeah.
But it is going to be slightly cheaper than the latest iPhone and the latest Samsung phone, so it may well be something that might be of interest to photographers.
Are we coming to a point where phones are just battle of the camera? It's no longer battle of the phone.
I think it's probably the aspect of people, like, in terms of if you're into photography, you've always had kind of your SLR and your other camera, and the phones are trying to compete with that because there's not much more in terms of screen. Like, the screens are about as good as they can get. I mean, other than that, what else can they do to the phone, really? I suppose a lot of people might say make the battery better, which they are working on, but the camera does seem to be the part that a lot of them are concentrating on. Yeah.
Sound okay. Well, from cameras then, lastly, you're Mr. Black Knight yourself, .ie registrations, we've been hearing about it in news, or these are the .ie domain registrations, or the Irish kind of country level domain registrations. Rules in general to register these have relaxed. You guys have seen a massive spike in interest. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so since March 21st, the claim to the name, as it was called, for .ie domain names or website addresses, as some people would refer to them, basically you no longer have to have a claim for why you want the name. So if you want to register like a techtalk.ie, you no longer have to have a company that represents that or a legitimate business reason for having that. You simply need to be an Irish person or have a connection to Ireland. So if you're signing up for the first time, just a copy of your Irish driving license or passport or utility bill, and then you can pretty much register any .ie that you like as long as it's available. So yeah, we're approaching 2,000 .ie domains for this month.
Is that that's beyond the norm, obviously, is it?
That's record breaking. Yeah, the record's going to be broken. So I think previously the record for a month was 1,267.
Yeah.
And that was back in 2011. So this is a record breaking month. So a lot of people that were thinking about registering .ie in the past that maybe went so far and then they started getting asked for paperwork and went, oh, it's just not worth a hassle.
Yeah.
They're now going back and realizing, okay, it's really easy to get a .ie now, and they've never been as cheap. They're down to $4.99 with us at Black Knight. So it's easy and it's cheap, and it's just everybody's jumping on board. So the IEDR, as of yesterday, had seen over 6,000 new domain names for the month. And which, like, is phenomenal.
Because that could be, I mean, you know, depending on how you look at the figures, you could look at that as going, well, that's 6,000 new people that are online, or it could be 6,000 businesses that have come online that may not have taken the chance before.
Exactly. And that's kind of the message. Like, I was with Emer on KCLR Live doing the paper review a couple of weeks ago, and Rachel Doyle from the Aberdeen was mentioning how, like, they never thought really about selling online, and then they couldn't believe when people started ordering trees online. So a lot of, you know, traditional businesses have been kind of slow to kind of maybe think about it. But this has been one of the stumbling blocks, but that's been removed now. And even if you're not going to sell online, the thing about it is, to be found online. So if somebody Googles, I want to buy whatever it is you're selling in Carlow, Kilkenny, if you're not got a website and you're not in Google, then the chances are somebody else is that's in your space, they'll find them first. So it's just trying to get people online, and then from there they can build a brand and bring maybe an e-commerce side to it. And also the dreaded aircom.net and Gmail addresses that you see in the side of a van, which just haunts me. Yeah, I mean, get your brand name there. Don't be advertising Aircom or don't be advertising Gmail. Get your name, get your business name instead after the at symbol. So ken@kclr96fm.com or whatever it is, or blacknight.com. It just makes it much easier for people to remember you as well.
Well, for the sake of a fiver and having no real kind of barrier to entry at this stage, it makes for a no-brainer. A quick one on that is the paperwork side of things. If you're saying that people might, if it's their first time doing it, they might have to show an ID or might have to show a bill or something. Is that, does that only happen one time and then you're just
That's only the first time. Once you've proven that connection, then every other time you want to register a domain name, you just basically, you use your same person, same account that you use to register that one, and it's called a fast pass system, and it's just straight through.
Happy days.
So it's just the first time you go to register, you have to prove a connection to Ireland. That's the only limiting factor, but it's no issue really in terms of we can help you get over the line. That you can just take a picture of your ID on your phone and send an email and it's started.
Jeez, it doesn't get much easier than that. If people want to follow up, Alan, in terms of domains or even yourself in general, how can they do it?
Yeah, www.blacknight.com, or if they want to go to bk.ie/499, they'll get details directly there on the IE. But blacknight.com has our contact details, live chat, support tickets, pick up the phone. There's 40 of us here in the Carlow office. Any of us will be happy to speak to you and help you.
Cracking. Big team, big day. Thanks a million for taking the time out of the day. We'll do Tech Talk again soon.
Thanks, Ken. Take care.
Cheers, Alan. Good luck.
Tech Talk on KCLR with Black Knight for domain names, web hosting, email, and all things cloud.